And this morning we're going to talk about how God wants to transform us from people of worry to people of peace. And the word is very clear in Romans 12, verse 1. It says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual or your reasonable act of worship." And then he says this. This is our verse for the beginning of this year. "Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will." And we've said for all of last year and into this year as well, we don't want His acceptable will, His good will, His pleasing will. We want nothing less than His perfect will for each one of our lives. And I believe that's what God wants all of us to hold on to and to hold out for. Again, last week we talked about faith, not fear. This week, peace, not worry. Next week, we'll follow it up with that last part of that series that I preached almost a year ago, and it will be trust, not the what-ifs of our imaginations. And then we're going to go into this verse that we just read in Romans 12, 2. We're going to talk about conformity, we're going to talk about transformation, and we're going to talk about renewal. And then after that, we're going to start into the real depth of the whole series that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for the beginning of the year, and that is the renewing of our minds and how we do that, how we renew our minds, how we renew our thinking and change our thinking into positive realms rather than allowing the enemy to put us in the negative realms of thought. And so, you know, the old saying was, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Well, it's the same thing with our thoughts. You can't help what thoughts may pop into your mind, but you can cast those thoughts out and cast down those imaginations that are against our knowledge of God, and we can bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So we can renew our minds. We need the Spirit's help to do that, but we can do it because with God all things are possible. Amen. Well, again, let's get into the message of today, peace, not worry. I want to start today, actually, with a portion of Scripture that we covered in last week's message, but I want to just go over it one more time with you. We're going to begin with Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Love this portion of Scripture. We went into it in depth last week. I won't go quite as far with it this week. But it says this. It says, "But blessed is the man, the woman, who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him." So the question is, who are you trusting this morning? Where is your confidence placed? You know, if we place our confidence in anything in this life, we'll be disappointed. If you place confidence in your paycheck, in your position, in your power, in your whatever, you'll be disappointed. But if our confidence is in the Lord, we'll be blessed. Verse 8, that person will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. We really went in depth on this last week, and I just want to touch briefly on these verses. We want to be that person that's like a tree planted by the water, where our roots go out towards the source of that water, and that's what nourishes us. For us, that's the Holy Spirit. We've got to get to a place where we're putting down spiritual roots, we're tapping into the Holy Spirit, and He feeds our very souls. Our roots, our spiritual roots go out to Him. And whenever the heat of life comes, the heat of circumstances that we don't like or understand, He says that we don't have to fear. Our leaves will be green, will be healthy. It says we'll have no worries even in a year of drought. And we as Christians will never fail to bear fruit. And guess why we're left on this planet? We're left here to bear fruit. We're here to win the lost. We're here to share Christ with others. Now, I can't save anybody, and neither can you, but it's our job to tell them. It's our job to just speak the word to them and to speak the truth, but speak it from a heart of love. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, again, we're talking about peace and not worrying, and I want us to go to Matthew chapter number 6 this morning. And we're going to look at a section here that's exactly what Jesus is speaking to the disciples and this morning to us about. And the subtitle in the NIV is simply this: do not worry, just don't do it. Now, I have to say that there are seasons, there's times when I can be a worrier. You know, I can be concerned about the future. I can be concerned about something in the present. And we live in a world full of uncertainty. We live in a nation of uncertainty, you know. And so, but the Lord says, don't worry, just don't do it. Verse 25, we begin in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaking here, and he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, they don't store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you believe you're more valuable than just a flock of birds? Sure we are. Look what God did to purchase us back to himself. He gave his only son for us. And then he says in verse 27, so which one of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Can we extend our life by a second, by a minute, by an hour? No, we can't. The Bible says the day of our birth and our death was written in his book. It's already there. Or the day that we're raptured. One of those three things is going to happen. And even, he says, another version, can you add by worrying even a single inch to your height? Can we even do that? No, we can't. And then he goes on and he says in verse 28, and why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor, they don't spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these lilies of the field. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He told his disciples numerous times that their faith was too small. He said, you know, why is it that you have no faith? They were in the boat, a storm came up, Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the back of the boat. The disciples they wake him up, fearful, they're going to drown. He gets up and he speaks those words we just sang, peace be still. And everything calmed right down. And the disciples just were blown away. And they said, who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? And he says, what's wrong? Where's your faith? Why didn't you hear me say we're going to the other side? I didn't say we're going to the middle and we're going to drown. He said, we're going to the other side. So where's your faith? He would ask us that this morning. Oh, you of little faith, where's our faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But here's the key. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you serve the Lord long enough, you know that verse is true. You know that that's exactly right. If we put Jesus first in our lives, his kingdom, his righteousness, those are the motivating factors in our life to seek after him and his kingdom. Then he says, all those other things that you've been stressing about, that you've been worried about, that you've been so concerned about, he said, those things will come to you automatically if you just put me first. And so that's what we need to try to ask the Lord to help us to do. And you know, I understand how we can be in seasons like this. We can be weak at times, you know, but Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong because of his strength that lives in me. And Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities and in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. Let's get to that place where we're not depending on ourselves, but we're depending upon the Lord and all that he has for us. And so he says, this is a strange verse for Jesus to say, but he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow is going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, that's not a great faith statement, but it's true. Jesus said it. Every day there's going to be a little trouble. It's going to have enough trouble of its own. So it's coming, so don't be surprised when it comes. But I'm going to be with you in it, and I'm going to be with you through it. And together, we're going to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that's found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go now to Luke, the book of Luke, and let's go to chapter number 8. Just a couple of verses there. Luke chapter 8. And this is the parable of the sower, if you remember that. The different types of seed. Seed is sown, and different types of hearts are receiving that seed. And I want us to look at verse number 14, where we're going to pick up in this story, towards the end of it. And it says this, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. They hear this word. They receive this seed of the word. But as they go on their way, that phrase reminds me of the 10 lepers. Jesus prayed for them. He says, go show yourself to the priest, and you know, and you'll be healed. And so as they're on their way, the Bible says, all 10 of those lepers were healed. But only one came back and thanked the Lord for healing him. And so as we go on our way in life, things happen. You know, circumstances hit all of us. Again, things that we don't understand, things that we don't like. But it says, as they go on their way, these people that hear that word and have received it, they are choked by life's worries, by life's riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. So we don't want to be those people that allow worry or doubt or fear or whatever to come in and keep us from maturing in our walk with God. He says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart and mind who hear the word, number one, they hear it, they get it, and then they retain it. Now, that's the second step. It's not only good to read the word, but we need to retain it. We need to ask the Lord to help us to memorize that word, and the Holy Spirit will help us to do that. And then the third thing, by persevering, they produce a crop. And so I want us to be people that are persevering, people of endurance. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen? And so we want to persevere. We want to endure. We don't want to quit. We don't want to grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't faint, if we don't quit, if we don't give up. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to pick up at verse number 38. This is the story of Mary and Martha, and they're in her home, in Martha's home. And let's look at what happens here. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, again, there's that phrase, as you're living life and going about the master's business and you're serving him, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. That's interesting. Underline that word, her. It's her home. It's unusual for a woman of the day to be a property owner, but she owns this place. She's a person that has probably persevered, has done well. She's one that's not lazy. She's earned the right and purchased this home and this property. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, listening to Jesus. But Martha was distracted. We can get distracted in life. So what does the devil use to distract you? Because we're not ignorant of his devices. I know where the devil's going to try to mess with me. I know areas that he has tried over my life to mess with me. You know where he messes with you. We're not ignorant of his devices. And so we need to be really, really careful that we don't get distracted by the enemy. But Martha is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She's distracted because she's organized, she's very particular, she's detail-oriented, she's got Jesus, the Son of God, coming to her home, and she's preparing a meal, and she wants everything to be just so, right? And so she's distracted by all the preparations. And so she comes to Jesus, and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Don't you see me struggling here, trying to make everything good for you, pleasant for you, and for the folks that are with you? Send her, ask her, tell her to come and help me." And then he says, very, very gently, I could just hear, can you hear the voice of Jesus? "Oh, Martha, Martha, just relax, just chill, you know, it's okay. You know, I know you're wanting everything to be just so, but you know what?" He said, "You're worried and you're upset about many things. You're distracted. The enemy has got you on all the preparations, but you're really missing the meal. You think you're preparing the meal, but you're missing the meal. And Mary is receiving the meal. Mary's eating that spiritual food that only I can provide." And so he says, "You're upset about a lot of stuff, but there's only one thing that's needed. There's only one thing that's really necessary. And your sister Mary has chosen what is better, and what she's chosen can't ever be taken away from her. She won't ever lose it, because no one can take that from her." Isn't that powerful? So, Lord, help us to be men and women that aren't distracted by the stuff of this life, whatever it is the devil uses in our lives to distract us. Lord, don't let me fall for that again. Don't let me cave in to that ever again. So now we've talked a lot about worry, but I want us to switch gears, and I want us to talk about this peace and how the Lord can help us leave worry behind and transform our lives from people of worry to people of peace. In Psalm 119, 165, David tells us this: "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them." Another translation says, "Nothing can cause them to stumble." If we know that word, then we're not going to be offended by a bunch of junk out there. We're not going to be upset about things like Martha was. He says, "Martha, you're worried and upset about a lot of stuff." We don't have to be that person. Because great peace are they who love the law of God. Nothing offends us, and nothing can cause us to stumble and make us mess up and lose out on what God has for us. So I want us to take a walk through the Word this morning and see what God has to tell us about this wonderful peace that we want to look into today. Job 22, verse 21, encourages us to submit to God and be at peace with Him. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. And so the starting point is submitting to God. That's the key. Are we willing to submit to God? Because we all have choices. You know, you didn't have to be here this morning. You didn't have to get out of bed this morning and get ready. But you chose to, you know. I don't think an angel woke you up, drug you to the shower, get ready, you know, eat your breakfast, then drag you to church. That didn't happen to any of us. We chose. Life is full of choices. And choice, not chance, determines our destiny. Choice, not chance, will determine our destiny. So we must be very, very careful. And then so everything flows from that starting point of submitting to God. And that includes the peace that will come as we submit to God and His will for our lives. In Psalm 29:11, David tells us this: "The Lord gives strength to His people, and the Lord blesses His people with peace." I love that. The Lord wants to bless me and you with His peace. I want us to turn to Psalm 85 this morning. Psalm 85, and we're going to begin at verse number 8. Begin at verse number 8. And it says this. This is a psalm of Korah. It says, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. There's another step, is we've got to just take the time to listen to what is God saying. Because you know what? There's all kinds of voices out there in the world. Man, we've got media voices telling us all kinds of stuff in all different forms. Printed page, radio, television, online. We're getting all kinds of voices, all kinds of opinions, there's all kinds of self-help stuff out there. But Cora says, I'm going to listen to what God the Lord is telling me. He promises peace to his people. Just what we read David said as well. God promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. When we confess sin, there also has to be a forsaking of sin, a turning away from sin. You know, he says, so don't return to that stuff. You know, if you want the peace of God, you can't continue to live in sin. You can't continue to make sinning a lifestyle. Now, from time to time, because we're human, we're going to mess up. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to commit some sin, a thought, a word, an action, a reaction, a motive, an attitude, an intention, a desire. Something is going to go haywire from time to time because we're human. And we fail from time to time. But it's not a continuous lifestyle of living a lifestyle of sin. He says, don't return to that. Don't be like the dog that returns to its own vomit, right? What the word says? We have to be careful. Don't be like the pig that returns to the mud puddle, you know? Let's stay out of the mud. Let's don't return to the junk of life. Verse 9, surely God's salvation is near those who fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence, the awe, the respect of God, that's the beginning of wisdom. So surely God's salvation is near those of us that feel that way about him. Why? So that his glory may dwell in our land. Oh God, return your glory to this nation. Return this nation to you, O Lord, some way, somehow. I believe there is a harvest that's yet to be reaped in our own country. I believe there's a harvest yet to be reaped in every country on the planet. Now, that doesn't mean wholesale revival where entire nations are going to be saved and the whole planet and everybody's going to go to heaven. Jesus already told us, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and how many find it? Few. Few that find it. Jesus said that. I didn't. Jesus said few. Compared to the billions of people, it's only going to be a few that make their way to heaven. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, Jesus said. But only a few find this path to salvation. But surely God's salvation is near those of us that fear him, so that his glory may dwell. I love that word dwell. May dwell, may rest, may reside in our land, in our country. Love and faithfulness, when this happens, love and faithfulness will meet together. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. This is very flowery wording here that Cora uses, but he's making a point. If we put God first in our lives, God will heal our land, and these things will come together, love, faithfulness, the righteousness of God, the peace of God. And then verse 11, faithfulness will spring forth from the earth, and righteousness will look down, look at that, from heaven. I love that. Let's look at that. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. The just shall live by faith. We said it earlier. So that faithfulness on our part goes upward towards heaven. But then righteousness, there's no righteousness that's going up from the earth. Righteousness always comes down from heaven because righteousness only comes from the Lord. There's none righteous, no, not one on this planet, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the faithfulness and the righteousness, the faithfulness on our part to serve the Lord, and then his righteousness rains down from heaven. And then verse 12, the Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land, our nation, will yield its harvest. I still believe there's a harvest yet to come from our own country and from nations around the world. God has a harvest of souls that's still yet to come in. And when that final person, wherever that person may be, whatever nation they may be living in, when that final person receives Christ as Savior, the last one that ever will, I believe that's when the end will come. That's when Jesus will come back. I just firmly believe that. So we still are looking for a harvest. Proverbs 14:30 tells us this, a heart, a mind at peace gives life to our body. So much of physical illness, it begins here. It begins here because our minds, our thoughts are not maybe where they need to be. And so our minds and our hearts, they're not at peace. There's worry, there's fear, there's a lack of trust, there's whatever that's blocking, and it creates physical problems in our bodies. But a mind, a heart at peace is going to give life to our body. God says, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly and that you might enjoy it to the full. Another one, Isaiah 26:3 adds this, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. And so we can have this perfect peace only as we allow our minds to stay fixed on the Lord Jesus, fixed on what our Heavenly Father is going to provide for us and bless us with, and how he's going to sustain us, our minds and our bodies, as well as our souls and spirits. And so we're going to go into this in a lot of depth in coming weeks about the renewing of our minds, like we mentioned earlier. It's so important. These are scriptures that will help us to do that, to renew the mind, to renew our thinking, to change our thought patterns. And then I want to go a little further into the book of Isaiah. And let's go to chapter number 32. Just two verses there. Boy, I love these two verses. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. And it says this, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. We talked about the righteousness that comes down from heaven, okay? Well, the fruit of that is going to be peace for us. But the effect of righteousness, I love this, will be quietness and confidence forever. God will quiet us. He will still our soul. He said, be still and know that I am God. So the effect of righteousness on us is a quietness, an assurance, a confidence that we have that will last forever. And then he says in verse 18, my people, the people that know their God, will live in peaceful dwelling places. Your home should be a peaceful place for you. Your home should be a place that you look forward to going to. Now, I enjoy working. I enjoy serving the Lord. I enjoy coming here every day. But you know what? I really love when I go home, because home is a place of peace. Home is a place where I look forward to going back to. Oh, that doesn't mean that Kathy and I never argue, you know? Doesn't mean we never have a disagreement. But it's overall, it's a place of peace. It's a place I look forward to going to, you know? It's a place of rest where you can unplug. Your home, our homes should be just like that. My people, he said, are going to live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, I love that, in undisturbed places of rest. Man, those are just such wonderful phrases. Peaceful dwelling places, secure homes, undisturbed places of rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he says, for I am meek and lowly, gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants to give us rest. He really does. Isaiah 55:12 says this, you will go out in joy and you'll be led forth in peace. You'll go out in joy, you'll be led forth in peace. God wants to do that for us as we go on our way in life. But also, when you're making decisions and you really don't know what to do, which way to turn, I believe that these are signs that you're making the right decision. When you go forth, when you make a decision and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do, then you should be led forth with joy and led forth with peace. Go out in joy, be led forth in peace. Those two things, joy and peace, should accompany the decisions of life that you and your spouse and your family make together. If you don't have the joy and you don't have the peace after you make a decision, you need to wait. You need to give God time to work. Give God time to act. Because when it's the right decision, when it's the will of God, you're going to have that joy and that peace as two signs that will follow you. Amen? So just kind of follow that. Then I want us to go to way back in the Old Testament to the book of Numbers. We sang about this today, but it's a priestly blessing that God gave Moses for Aaron and his sons, the priestly blessing. And look at this in Numbers chapter 6. We begin at verse number 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. God always has wanted to bless his people. We read earlier a couple of places, he blesses his people with peace. God wants to do that. Well, here's a blessing. Here's how to bless our people. Here's how to bless our nation. Here's how to bless our church family. He says, say to them this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The source is always the Lord. It's always God. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord, may he turn his face toward you and may he give you peace. May he give you peace. God doesn't dangle stuff out in front of us and then yank it away. You know? You ever see somebody teasing somebody? Oh, you want this? Here it is. You know? And then, boom, boom, no, you can't have it. That's not how God does us. God is a giver. God is not a withholder. God will not yank his blessings away. He freely gives. Kathy said it earlier, you know, he that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Amen? God's a giver. And so God wants to, when he turns his face towards you, you can't help but receive his peace. You can't help but be blessed by all the blessings that he has in store for us. Almost done this morning. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:14 that he, Jesus, is our peace. That old chorus, he is our peace, and he's broken down every wall. He is our peace, he is our peace. He is our peace, and he's broken down every wall. He, Jesus, is our peace. He is our peace. Romans 5:1 adds this, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, but it came through Jesus Christ. Through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and now his intercession for all of us, for he ever lives to make intercession for us. So we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I want us to jump back to the New Testament, and I want us to go to the book of John, and I want us to go to chapter number 14, and these are very, very familiar scriptures to us. But John chapter 14, and one verse there, verse number 27, Jesus speaking, and he says this, peace I leave with you. I love that word, leave. Again, he doesn't just give it to you and then yank it away. He said, I'm going to leave this peace with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That word my is amazing. We not only get peace, we get the peace of Jesus. He said, my peace, I'm going to give that kind of peace to you. He says, I don't give to you as the world gives, because the world giveth, but the world taketh away. Amen? He said, I'm not going to do that. And then he says, don't let your heart, your mind be troubled, and don't be afraid. We talked about that last week. No fear. Leave fear behind, and we become transformed into people of faith. Today, we're leaving all the worries of life, the cares of life behind, and we're becoming people of peace. Don't let your heart, don't let your mind be troubled, and don't be afraid. And then flip over a page, probably in your Bible, John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus again speaking. He says, I've told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, the place you and I live today, in this place, on this planet, he says, you're going to have trouble. Again, not a great faith statement coming from Jesus, but he's telling us, just like he said, each day has enough trouble of its own. He's telling us here, in this world, don't be surprised, because you're going to have trouble from time to time. Stuff's going to pop up that you just don't like. You don't understand. You don't want to go through it. You want to bail out. You want to do like David, who said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I could just fly away, get out of this mess. Have you ever quoted that verse to the Lord? Oh, Lord, if you could just, like David, I just want to get out of here. I just want to fly away from this situation, this circumstance. I don't want to go through this. Just let me, you know, fly out of here. But no, in this world, it's just going to happen, because it's a fallen world. It's a sin-sick world, and we've got to just deal with it. But, you know, greater is he that's in us than he that's out in that world. Amen? And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is with us. God is for us. God is in us. And he'll never leave us and never forsake us. He says, so you're going to have some trouble, but take heart. He says, because I have overcome the world. He's already overcome it. The devil is a defeated foe. The end, we already know what the end is going to be. The devil gets thrown in the lake of fire with the Antichrist and with the false prophet, and they will be tormented forever and ever. The next time the devil messes with you and your mind, mess with him and his mind. Say, devil, I might be going through this right now, but you know what? You're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire with your cronies, the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's your end, devil. That's why you're so scared. That's why you're trying to create so much stuff. It's why you're trying to take as many people to hell with you as you can, because you know your end, and so that's where you're going. Where the worm never dies, where the fire is never quenched, where you, Satan, will be in torment forever and ever, the rest of eternity. Tell the devil that the next time he messes with you. Resist the devil, the word says, and he'll flee from you. How do we resist him? In the name of Jesus. We just use the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. They have to flee. Take heart, I, Jesus, have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And then I want to close with this. Man, this is just awesome, awesome scripture here. One of my favorite books, the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and just two verses there. The whole book, 4 chapters, Paul wrote it from prison, and it's a book full of happiness, full of rejoicing, him encouraging all the saints, all the churches that he's helped establish. He's writing this letter specifically to the Philippians. But he's saying, you know what, guys, I want you to rejoice. I want you to rejoice. I'm in jail for the gospel, and I'm rejoicing. I've led some of Caesar's household. I've led them to the Lord already. They send you their greetings, you know. They send you their greetings. And so two verses here, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And Paul tells us, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, another place Paul says, in everything give thanks, because this is God's will concerning you right now. So don't try to run from it. But in the midst of it, just begin to praise him, begin to thank him, and you'll get through it. So don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we talked about this, in fact, last Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do it that way. Go ahead, pray. Give your petitions, list them. You got a list, give him the list, whatever, you know. But do it with thanksgiving. In the midst of all this that I'm praying about, I still thank you, Lord. I don't understand it, don't like it, but I'm still thanking you, Lord, in the midst of it. So present those requests to God, and then look at this. And the peace of God, again, not just a peace, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that peace is going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. Some verses, they'll say heart, and it really could be better translated mind. This is one that it covers both. It's going to cover your physical heart, but it also covers your mind, the peace of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're worried, it's going to not only affect your mind, it's eventually going to affect your heart. Can't help but not. Your blood pressure, your heart rate, something is going to change. If this is upset, if this is worried, it's going to affect this over time. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. Bible says in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. What we talked about last week, just because of fear. But see, that's why God, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. If there's fear, it's never of God. So we need to understand that. And so this peace will guard our hearts and our minds and keep us safe in Christ Jesus. So guys, I want us to choose today to be people that are going to leave worry behind, and we're going to become men and women of peace and have that peace of God in our hearts and our minds.